This is 16.9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens.
Auto dealerships have always been an environment well-suited to digital signage. There are a lot of things to talk about and sell, and a lot of interest in buying comes down to things like the visual and emotional appeal of the vehicles. Guy Tonti's company, Unified Brand, spends a lot of its time working with dealerships, developing what amounts to custom TV channels that are tuned to the dealer environment. Based in Phoenix, the company has carved out a nice, steadily growing niche in the sector, bolstered by work it also does with other kinds of locations and regional businesses. The channels, using digital signage tech, are revenue-producing, customer-centric content plays that are used as an alternative to the TVs that you still find in many, many auto dealer service area lounges. That idea doesn't work all that well, as competitor ads might run on a broadcast channel, and U.S. politics are getting so polarized these days that just running CNN or Fox News on the waiting room TV will stir up arguments and complaints. Intensely local digital signage is an interesting departure for Tonti, who joined and then bought the company after years working with networking giant Cisco, where he was driving the digital signage business there. Tonti and I caught up in Phoenix, spending time talking about Unified Brand and touching a little bit on his brush with fame when he was a multiple-day champion on Jeopardy. He can't be all that bright, though, because, hey, he's in digital signage.
So, Guy, we've known each other for years, but maybe some people don't know who you are, amazingly enough. Can you tell me what Unified Brand is all about?
Unified Brand, we don't do what most people call digital signage. We build custom television channels. Mm-hmm. We carry that concept. We figured out a couple years ago, when people are sitting in front of a television, they expect to see a television station,
right,
a channel. They don't want it. They're not in a boardroom. Don't put PowerPoint slides up. They're not 24 inches away from it. Don't put a web page up there. Make it look like a television station. Now, I'm not talking about transit or when people are walking by, those kinds of things. But if they're in a lounge, you know, restaurant, wherever they are, why not think of that like a television channel? So that's what we do, mm-hmm, for any business. And we figured out the back end and the back office piece to do it extremely value conscious for that customer. And we can build any custom channel for any customer, full day parting, time parting. We'll go out and find the content for them that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. When we've done nail salons, we went out and got Milan fashion items as an example to put on. You know, we don't put that in most sports bars, though, but some of them may want it if they cater more to a female clientele. So that's what we do. That's what Unify Brand does. We got our start here in Phoenix doing it around the concept of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And from that, some of the auto dealerships kind of said, this is pretty cool. So we started to do it, and we have a fairly nice business now, which is auto dealerships.
So how does the business break down? I kind of think of your core business right now being auto dealerships, but do you still do a lot of the other ones as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's kind of the split?
60, 30, 10. Okay. 60% auto, 30 is our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And then 10% is just templates and enterprise for customers.
Okay.
Who want us, because we do have a nice design team,
right,
along the lines. But most of it is getting the auto world there. And when I say auto, it's not just lounges. We have one auto dealership we do 18 different channels in, as an example.
Now, how does that break down? Like, what?
The Kumbaya new car delivery. Welcome to the Haynes's. And you come and pick up, and it's a screen with your name and
you
videos on.
You got me a car?
For joy, not for
okay,
you.
All right.
But also that it's retail parts, it's back office break room, it's cafes in the dealerships, besides the bling of the showroom with the cars driving across the television. We can do when you drive up your car. So if you drive up your car, that TV's 3 to 5 minute loop. But when you're standing, you know, and it's a lot of windshield wipers, air in your tires,
right,
those kind of things. Well, if you go to the advisor and talk to them, that can be more of a 5 to 9 minute loop because it's more the menu boards, come back in next time, etc.
Right.
And then it's F&I lounge is a huge piece for auto dealers, if you know what that is. That's what the last piece, finance and insurance. Okay. It's you sure you don't want undercoating with that? That's where that's sold. Mm-hmm. So a small lounge for that. That lounge may be a 10 or 15 minute loop on a weekday, on mm-hmm. a weekend, more of a 45 minute loop, while the service lounge is a 4 or 5 hour loop, because that's how long it is. And through pieces, we get CBS sitcoms and just like the local television affiliate. Mm-hmm. And we do some content for our customers, but basically we carry them into the concept of think of this like a television channel. And we build it out completely based on demographics, time, etc.
And do many auto dealers fully have their heads around what they want, or do you kind of take them through the thinking?
No. A few do. The ones that do get the concept that they are a brand and they want to form their, they want, when everyone comes in there, the old thing, how do you know when someone in an auto dealership is lying? Well, they're talking.
Yeah.
Well, most of the auto dealers who we form the best relationships with like to have this television channel is a way of them to extend their brand to everybody in a very consistent manner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the piece that really comes in. They're the dealerships that get the most out of what we do with them from that side. And they get it, that this is not a point of sale, mm-hmm. by and large. People have already know what they kind of want. This is to make them feel good, to right. make them come back, etc.
So in a lot of auto dealerships, that when I'm in getting oil changed or whatever, they're just showing the local TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any value in that. And quite often their competitors are running ads on the screens and everything else. And do you kind of have to spend time to say, this is not the way to go?
So there's two different pieces to that. One is absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Toyota dealership has an ad playing for the local Ford. And why are you publicizing yeah. your competitor, number one? The second piece of it, though, that really comes into play is, and this is a takeoff of the recent article with Lifetime Fitness, too, where they said no more cable.
Yeah.
We have had dealerships where people have gotten into very heated arguments. I want Fox News. No, I want CNN. No, I want MSNBC.
And they've had to put
want the Food Channel.
Two screens in there or whatever just to...
Or they'll just turn the TV off.
Yeah.
See, yeah. You know, the heck with all you guys. So we're very... Our best ones are the ones who, when the one group says you put just the right amount of sports and entertainment, the other group says you put just the right amount of education kind of thing.
Right.
So we do carry the concept that most people are used to the old 22 and a half minutes of content, 7.5 minutes of advertising kind of breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
We've had about, 4 or 5 generations now that's ingrained in us to watch that. So we kind of carry that philosophy. It's not just ad.
Right.
It's something of interest, something that's of interest to them, that they will sit in front of that and get it, recognizing that at the end of us playing a Big Bang Theory 3-segment episode with the commercials in between about the dealership and the manufacturer, that person's going to get up.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the bathroom. They're going to walk around the dealership. So ideally what we've put in is, while you're at our dealership, please go check out
right.
whatever else is there, those kinds of things. Because a lot of the dealerships view themselves as, quote, a destination along the line. So that piece of it, you're absolutely correct. The competitive is number one, is fairly front and center with that. But having said that, there are the dealerships who think that TV is just noise.
Yeah.
And we know how to sell. We don't. So, okay.
Where's that content coming from? So, if you mentioned Big Bang Theory,
mm-hmm.
how do you get that material?
We happen to go through an aggregator
okay.
at this point for those types of things. So, there's an aggregator out there who supplies us with CBS sitcoms, CBS news clips. They also do some auto information.
So, this is
but also we're
stuff.
Out there it's, during the day. I'm out there getting Jeremy screen feed stuff, and
uh-huh.
I'm pulling financial and sports from Tim's data call, and mm-hmm. we've built things around that. We have RSS tickers of local things going on, and then you know our team has done some stuff, local trivia, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also here in the Valley, in Phoenix, and in Southern California, we have arrangements with the sports teams,
mm-hmm.
so we play highlights and video clips from the local sports teams
mm-hmm.
in the breaks to kind of, you know, keep things exciting and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things down the road where I where do I spend my time and our team's time? Right now, it's simpler for us financially to go through an aggregator.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road, we'll go try to make the arrangements ourselves directly with whoever. And we've talked with a few people like that. For instance, we talked to a local Spanish one recently when we started to do some dental offices that are in Spanish.
Right.
And so, but for us, at this time, it's simpler to just get them through an aggregator.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to, I assume, win the dealerships dealer by dealer? Like you don't get a big Japanese automaker brand saying, here's our whole estate or anything.
Right. So it is nice. So if you know the way auto dealerships work, there are individual ones, quote, family owned, and then there's groups.
Right.
Okay. And groups can be any size, two, three. We have 3, 4 to obviously the biggest one here is AutoNation, you know, a couple of hundred. But then there's Penske and Hendrix over in the east, et cetera, there. So we have our biggest one happens to be Berkshire Hathaway. Now, we're not exclusive at all, but we have such a reputation there that when anybody.
So your buddies with Warren?
Yeah. Warren and I, we talk periodically.
Yeah.
Along with Charlie.
Give me advice.
Yeah. We have to have a dealership in Omaha, as a matter of fact. But the groups, though, they supply things that can be identified to make money for the dealerships. Mm-hmm. So they do sales and inventory management and financials. They will rarely, if ever, say, this is what you need to do around digital signage. But they will say, if you are going to do digital signage or custom TVs, for instance, in the case of Berkshire Hathaway, here's Unify, here's AutoVision TV, give them a call.
Yeah.
There are a couple. We have 3 groups in California who are all in the 4 to 10 range. And all of them started to do something themselves because they had a marketing person on staff who mostly was doing web pages, but then throwing up some PowerPoint slides. And then they heard about us and said, you can take this off my plate?
Yeah.
Please do. So that's kind of becoming our sweet spot, is that place where a group has a marketing person who knows how to do web, knows how to do external advertising.
Yeah, already has to do social media as well and everything.
That's
else.
Right. But they just realize this is more than I was planning for to do these here. And they recognize when they see us that just putting PowerPoints and videos up there doesn't cut it.
So you can parachute in and say, look, we're your turnkey service. We'll figure out the feature set that you need. We'll do the sourcing on the hardware, the display panels. Mm-hmm. We've got this content management system worked out. We'll just...
That's right. And so we go on. We know their schedules. We know when they're posting new things to the web. We know their agencies.
Yeah.
So we know their agencies know us to send us all the new content when it comes about. We know their service guys. So the service guys tell us when they post specials.
Yeah.
I do not believe none of our dealers have a quality check with us anymore. They trust us.
Yeah.
What we put on the screen. Because I think the last time we checked, the last 4 mistakes that were made were all mistakes we took from their web page. Mm. And they said, wait, we put that on our web? Thank you. So
you're doing their QA.
That's right. We are. And having said that, we are a subscription service.
Yeah.
Our longest dealership is now over 8 years.
Okay.
So we stay with them. We're close. And also, we don't do televisions. We don't do infrastructure. But because of my background, we usually can fix their internet for them. Right. I have an MCSC on staff. We usually can fix when everything's wrong.
Yeah.
We know how to do that because AV companies are notorious for in and gone.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. That's their business model, which is a great thing. So we form the relationships with the AV companies of we'll call you when something breaks and come out.
So as a subscription, it's not necessarily going to be rock bottom cheap, but it's going to be a lot cheaper than even a halftime FTE in most cases.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not that much more expensive than cable. That's the one they compare it to. If we can get to the point of that FTE, then that's a no-brainer if they've got someone trying to do that now.
Right.
But it's more along the lines when they compare it to the satellite or the cable box. Mm-hmm. Then once we do that, and even once they start looking at that number, they say, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, this is going to get me something that's well worth it.
I think when you got into this, you started with kind of the hyper-local advertising in the entertainment district, that sort of thing, right?
Right. That's the we call it the Net Neighborhood here in Phoenix. Absolutely it. So we have the most exclusive health club chain, and we do the televisions in there for them. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of restaurants around and medical facilities and dental, etc. And they all share advertising, etc. Two of those happen to be auto dealerships. And they got into us, well, can you do our auto dealership? And that just grew out of that. The thing with our neighborhood, we're still trying to figure it out, is it still has a high SG&A. The cost of sales is still pretty high on that, mm-hmm. based upon what we can get out of a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
So that's one we're continually looking at. How can we move that to a web purchase, marketing-wise, et cetera, there?
Yeah, I mean, I just had a pre-consulting call with a company that was referred over to me, and they want to do a hyperlocal ad network. And I said, you've described something that I've heard about many, many times, and I'm just going to tell you now, it can work, but it's a hard road.
Oh, yeah. And when I learned this back in my Cisco days, if you think a digital signage screen is going to make you money on its advertising, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, the graveyard of them is too prevalent out there. So in our case there, we go to a business and say, would you like a custom television channel?
Yeah.
Great. It's this price. But if you'd like to be part of an advertising network, hyperlocal, then how attractive is your site to me? And I will be willing to reduce the price based on that. Mm-hmm. And also here in the Valley, it's kind of fun with sports tickets and things like that. And we've done a couple wineries, which are fun, those kinds of things. But it is the hyperlocal advertising. It's one that's rife for figuring out how can this be sold, but how can marketing make the sales occur and web be the processing? Because we've already figured if it's a second meeting, it's tight for us to make money even if you can't sell them on the first ones. But at least recently we've brought on some people who really know their community and are more interested in their neighborhood and what's involved in it. So they're not out there shaking babies and kissing hands everywhere.
Yeah.
Shaking every bush. They know who to go to, and it takes them time. But again, the secret to it, though, is getting someone on and keeping them.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
Tell me the story behind Unified Brand, because I got to know you when you're the complete opposite end of things, from intensely local business to coming from Cisco. So maybe talk a little bit about your Cisco background and how you ended up doing this.
After a lot of long time at Cisco.
You don't have to talk about your time in jail.
Yeah.
We'll skip that part.
Thanks. We do keep that under wraps.
Unless you want to.
I mean, it's
fine. It could be cathartic for you.
At Cisco, I was in charge of what they called emerging technologies, the services associated with it. So something that was sold to somebody who had never bought from Cisco before. In the case of this, the marketing department would be buying digital signage, right? So I was responsible for the services for that worldwide. Digital signage was a big one, obviously. There was a couple guys here in Phoenix who started this company because they figured out the neighborhood out. They wanted to try it and get it moving. Cisco put a thing out, as I say, for the gray hairs. Would you like some money to leave? We said, fine, we wanted to move back here, family reasons, etc.
And you're up in Silicon Valley at that point, right?
Yeah, in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And then, so we came here and I joined them. And not too long thereafter, kind of made a financial agreement that I would buy them out. And so we've been growing it since then.
And what was it when you bought them out? Like, what's the size of company?
Oh, 40 screens maybe.
But in terms of headcount?
All in Phoenix here.
Yeah, headcount you had like four or five people.
It was five people. Yeah.
And where are you at now?
With everybody total around 13, 14 people. Yeah, and we've grown every year. We are, bootstrapped still, but I have a great VP of sales and a great VP of creative development who are now minority owners as we continue to grow.
Yeah.
Business really, if it relied on me, we'd be in trouble. So with those two guys, it's really grown well.
And you're not having to do everything anymore.
That's right. I get to, and that's part of it is, as the owner of a company, you get to do what you want
right
to a certain point. Now, you have to do something, but if you can find someone to do the things you dread, don't enjoy doing,
right?
Like in my case, I don't mind closing a deal. It's fun to do that, but I don't want to be out there shaking. Yeah, exactly. But I love right now, I'm, you know, reprogramming some widgets that we have. Just it's kind of good to be in there and seeing how that's done. We're bringing on a new traffic manager shortly, and that'll greatly help in our customer service side. So, you know, as we kind of pick and choose, where is it that we need to grow, which pieces of it, we've kind of looked at who's doing what right now that isn't really great at doing it.
Yeah.
Let's find someone really good at doing that. So, yeah.
So, intensely local business coming from a global business like a Cisco, you've seen both sides of it, and I'm curious because whenever a very large company is involved in digital signage, the natural reaction is, oh my God, they're going to take over. They're going to crush all the little guys. That hasn't happened. You have the benefit of perspective of both sides of it. Is it the kind of business where it's just difficult for a big multinational company that does a whole bunch of things to, you know, work this space successfully?
I don't know if that's the case. I will say this, though, that the reason I don't think it's taken off big-wise is because of, like, what we're doing, that it's really hard to make that be customized, appropriate to that given audience at that time, right? Kudos to Stratacash and McDonald's around the United States, but how much better would it be if they could do just some local at every single location like that? And I think that's what's missing in it, that piece of it there. The nationals can go out.
The local flavor of it to the,
somehow, some way, some format.
It's just
right?
Not the Borg that's pushing out the same
thing.
That's
right. I mean, and there's a certain, maybe even just as simple as the background changes everywhere you're at. Those right. types of things.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we have kind of done that I don't know how much we can scale. But we can scale pretty incrementally to new auto dealerships, new groups. Whether it's a Toyota dealership in Southern California or Delray Beach, Florida, it looks the exact same as far as what we're doing. 90-something percent of it's the exact same. That kind of thing. But that dealership knows the difference.
Yeah.
Right? Besides, obviously, you put the weather up, you put the RSS feeds that are local, those types of things.
But you give it some twists and personality.
And if you think of it like a TV channel,
yeah,
then you do have to think of it because the local NBC affiliate in Phoenix is not the same as the one in Detroit.
Yeah.
They're going to do things differently. A couple of shows will be the same. A couple of things will be the same. But you want it to be different along those lines. One other one, a little bit to the side here that I've been kind of thinking, what is it that causes the disruptor? And I don't think digital signage is yet disrupted. Okay. Number one is you have to steal from who's doing something right now because there's a market there doing something.
Right.
So Uber stole taxis.
Yeah.
Number one. Okay, great. That was a lovely thing. But really, where has Uber grown? People, how many people no longer take a bus because Uber's cheap enough now? How many people get their food delivered because Uber's cheap enough now?
Yeah.
Right? How many people don't buy a second car because Uber's cheap enough? In digital signage, we haven't figured out that.
Yeah.
Who are we stealing from? Enough.
Other than the reasonably small printing business.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, along those lines. And so, you know, the auto dealerships, their first step into this is, well, they can stop sending out stand-ups.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay, that's a start. But that's step one. What else are you really taking away from? And I don't know what that is. I mean, I'd love to hear it, but in our, that's, I think, is what's also kind of stop the the continuing growth. The other thing I will say is most of the ones that I've seen that have been global in nature don't keep it up sufficiently.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that sold at first is good for a year, two, three, maybe.
Yeah.
But what's after that? You know, that's why our thing where we're customizing it and staying so close to people, we can stay with them for 7, 8, 9 years and they're still liking what we're doing because it's still changing. It's evolving. And I don't like the thing that where people say content's king or it's content. No, it's you need to have context.
Sure.
It better be the channel that's involved in it too.
Yeah.
I mean, thing of a showroom screen at a dealership that's 15-minute loop is probably about right on a Tuesday night. You put that same screen on a Saturday morning where the kids are screaming and they've been there an hour and a half and they now have seen that same video six times.
Yeah. That's wrong.
Those kind of contexts, I think.
Do you, when you get into areas like F&I, yes, there's a degree of what you're doing in an auto dealership where you're just somewhat pacifying and entertaining mm-hmm. people who are waiting. But are there areas like F&I where there's tangible differences being made where that can be measured? And
yeah.
We ran this, we sold more aftercare insurance mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Absolutely. I mean, now, this is where the dealers themselves will keep it to themselves.
Okay.
They're not that anxious to go out there and advertise, we saw a 15% increase of something.
Yeah.
Where it's most prevalent in the F&I world is in financing specifically.
Mm-hmm.
The dealers, it's those that have their own financing arms,
mm-hmm.
will put a lot up there about why to use them versus, quote, a credit union or whatever. Or if they have an arrangement with a credit union, put it up there. Or if they have Allstate in their, you know, as an example, or another insurance company in yeah. their location, who do they have the deals with? And if that's just like I didn't know they had a deal with whoever, when they then go into the room, that conversation is much simpler. That conversation mm-hmm. is much better. Now, was it because that was up there that they sold that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take that with a grain. But it's less, whatever the word is, not intense. It's less conflicting. Mm. That you're trying to sell me something. No, you educated me.
Yeah.
The one place where we have seen a lot is in maintenance types of things, fluids and that. We do a lot of things about why you should do something, the tire techs, and things yeah. like that. So when they go back and talk to the advisor says, do this. And, well, wait, I saw that on a video. And they can then take it to the next level of conversation.
Right.
Then it's a conversation, not a sales.
Right.
From that perspective. And so that really is it. That's where the education piece comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just put that on the screen, they would get sick of watching it. So you have to put that in between a 2.5-minute segment of 60 minutes clip.
Yeah, you can't always be closing.
That's right. And or there's a sports score on the side or
right.
the weather is coming up. And then it's mm-hmm. back to that kind of thing.
Is there some indication that these things pay for themselves? Even though I know you said the dealers don't tell you necessarily tell you their successes.
No, absolutely. Especially those who have already started to do something mm-hmm. and now realize this is more than they bargained for. The places where when we compare it to what they do for external to get people to come in, we're very, very cost effective along
right.
those lines. From that perspective, it really fits well. The other piece is we talk to them and compare it to how much they're spending on web, etc. But we don't like to go down the path because there's not click-throughs. There's not banner ads. That
right.
type of thing isn't part of this. But they can see if you're putting something on a web page to get somebody in here, what's your sales rate based upon mm-hmm. going from that? Versus now if you're giving it a reinforcement by having them see it once it's here, what can be the difference? And that we've got dealers who will anecdotally tell you that there is an incremental increase from
right.
that piece of it.
Okay.
And then, you know, on the other side of things, there's a local restaurant here, Marley's, the basketball player, Dan. Well, they want the TV screen to
block away.
That's right. To brand Dan. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the reason a lot of people go in there. So we built a bunch of things up about Dan and his history and whatever. And then yeah. afterwards, it's in Tuesday's barbecue chicken pizza. And sure enough, they will tell you that, yeah, with those ads up there, they will see a difference. Or we recently put an Uber Eats out for three different companies in town.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them said, with that there now, yeah, they don't know if they've lost any business of people walking in, but they do know their Uber Eats, for instance, has taken off
yeah.
because of the delivery piece.
Okay. So, I know you said you're not a hardware guy so much, even though you came out of Cisco and so on.
My competition's ESPN,
okay.
CNN, that yeah. type of thing. But go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just in a broader sense, are there things happening in the digital signage space, whether it's on the software side, the data side, maybe the hardware side, that sort of intrigue you and get you kind of encouraged about what's going on?
I would say on the hardware side, the one thing is we're just doing a deal with a local hospital foundation right now
mm-hmm.
and removing three standalone screens with a big screen. And you're hearing today at the Sam's something about colors and matching up and things like that.
Yeah.
So the bigger screens for us is really cool in the price-wise, what people can get out of it. Because our biggest issue is our first hurdle, the outlay of capital that needs to occur. So as those costs come down and as those pieces to it come in and they see it, they see how much more vibrant it is, how much more it can do for them to attract attention. I think that's the number one thing. Now, you know, I'm not out there analyzing every single one of them, but on that side, it's huge. The other one that has really changed in the auto dealership world is switching systems, moving from proprietary standalone systems to those that can use straight Ethernet off of switching, and you can do port switching on those. That has really made a difference, because you used to have to buy them from the companies in blocks of 4 or 8 or 16, and there would be nice large stair steps when they bought those kind of switching systems for the ins and the outs. But now if they can do it off of an Ethernet switch and just do it off of a web page and make a thing, that's making a huge difference on that side for us in the larger dealerships as we go in.
Okay.
We're doing a motorsports one now in Southern California where, we just plug into it and they're sitting there every few minutes. They're changing which screens stuff's going to because they can do it so quickly.
It's just all signal over Ethernet.
That's right. And they when they wanted to put in new screens, they just put another Ethernet switch in. Mm. They didn't have to go buy another proprietary block of 8 and figure out what to do. So those are the two things right now that are giving us the most, cool.
Yeah. I have to ask you about your deep past that few people know about it with Mr. Trebek.
Just because he's Canadian? Is that right?
No, because the only guy I know who was on Jeopardy.
I'm the youngest of five, and I was raised by six parents. So our house was always older brothers and sisters.
Yep. With it.
How did I know Harry Belafonte's Calypso album was the first $1 million one, right? Mm-hmm. No one should really know that kind of
thing. You're a fountain of useless information.
That's right. Completely, yes. And so, and we've talked about it as a family, the seven levels of intelligence. We all have good memories, which makes people think we're smart.
Yep.
One day in my life, it was really valuable because I got to be on Jeopardy and film five shows in one. Yeah.
So you were, I don't watch Jeopardy that much. You were a grand champion? Or?
No. Just a regular champion that got to go back for the tournament.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Back in Alex Trebek's second year. So it was a few years ago, 1985.
Ah, okay.
When I was still black. If you looked, there's someone with black hair. It was fun. Yeah, I mean, it's...
That was your big claim to fame.
Yeah, and there's
it's
lots
all been
of
downhill since then.
Lots of stories about people. I know you. I recognize you. People actually standing in line in front of me in a restaurant, turning around and saying, "I recognize that voice. You're the guy."
Really?
Yeah. Like many years ago. Oh, but yeah, okay. That kind of thing. When I was still, when it was still relatively fresh.
It's not following you around today.
Yeah. No, I did get a call if I wanted to be on Sports Jeopardy, but I couldn't get there for the taping, and so, and now they've kind of capped it, so I'll wait for the next one to come around.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, it was it's one of those things that's made for good conversation and bamboozle people that I know stuff.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.